This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, January 26, 2017. Coming up this hour,
a $30 billion deal in the pharmaceutical industry is getting done after more than 2 months of talks.
Royal Bank of Scotland gets hit with a $3.8 billion charge over a mortgage securities probe.
Shares of eBay surge after an optimistic outlook for the new year.
President Trump has advanced his plan to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Meanwhile, Mexico says it's not paying for the wall. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Amid reports the Knicks are trying to trade Carmelo Anthony. They lost in Dallas. Nets blew a lead, lost to Miami. Rangers got shut out. The Williams sisters have reached the Australian Open final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. SEI is bringing you Bloomberg Daybreak. Its leading-edge operational platform enables asset managers to compete in an environment of social and technological change. Explore SEI's next-gen ideas at seic.com/IMS.
5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 3 points, Dow E-mini futures up 48, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 16, the DAX in Germany is up 0.6%, CAC in Paris up 0.4%, the FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 1.8%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, the yield 2.54%, yield on the 2-year 1.24%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 21 cents to $52.96 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.30 to $11.95.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.0723, the yen, 114.18.
The talking is over. Johnson & Johnson has agreed to buy Actelion for $30 billion, a move that sent shares of the Swiss drug maker up 20% in Zurich. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Bob. This deal has been months in the making, with Johnson & Johnson first approaching Actelion about a possible takeover in November. The acquisition will be J&J's largest ever. It's relatively expensive compared to recent industry takeovers. J&J will spin off the Swiss drugmaker's research and development operations to Actelion shareholders as a new publicly traded company, with J&J keeping a 16% stake. Today's purchase price, 23% above yesterday's closing level for Actelion shares. In the pre-market, J&J is down 0.2%. Bob, Karen.
John Tucker, thank you. We're getting earnings results from some prominent European companies this morning. For more on trading in the region, we bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Matt Miller, live from our Berlin bureau. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. We have a turnaround in the pound, earlier trading up as much as 126.73 versus the dollar. It dropped down to 126.36 after UK GDP came out stronger than expected, a gain of 2.2% year over year in the fourth quarter. As far as the equity markets are concerned, we had gains after those numbers came out. The FTSE now up 0.2% at 71.79, the CAC up a third at 48.94, and the DAX up almost 0.2% at 11,875. Royal Bank of Scotland said it will take a £3.1 billion, that's $3.8 billion at these rates, charge in its fourth quarter results. That's as the lender used other bank settlements to estimate the impact from a U.S. probe into sales of mortgage securities. It hopes to get that behind it with the DOJ, but isn't quite there yet. RBS also says it's going to shrink the bonus pool for its bankers this year. And Ericsson AB reported higher fourth quarter revenue than analysts had predicted, offering some relief to new chief executive officer Börje Ekholm as he tries to stabilize the Swedish network maker. Matt Miller, Bloomberg Daybreak, Berlin.
Matt, thank you. We're also getting earnings results from Unilever this morning. The consumer goods company's sales missed estimates for the fourth quarter. In an interview with Bloomberg CEO Paul Polman, said tough conditions in emerging markets like India and Brazil weighed on results.
Fourth quarter is only 90 days, and we've had the full effect of this demonetization in India, which has really severely affected the market there. Many people are reporting on that. We have a very big business in India, and likewise Brazil is going through a very tough time, and we have a big business in Brazil.
Shares of Unilever currently trading down 3.7% in London.
Meanwhile, Scandinavia's biggest bank is reporting fourth-quarter profit that rose 30%. Nordea Bank's results were boosted by increased income from fees and commissions. Chief Executive Casper von Koskull spoke to Bloomberg following the results and says the bank is learning to cope with negative interest rates.
We've already been operating in negative rate environment for the last 2 years, so that is not the thing that concerns me. I think the real concern maybe for all of us is more geopolitical events and the spillover to the economy.
And shares of Nordea are up 3.6% in Stockholm.
Yet another European bank is exploring options for moving staff from London as the UK exits the European Union. According to people familiar with the matter, Credit Suisse is considering expanding its operations in Dublin. The Irish capital is said to be emerging as a favored location for back office jobs at Credit Suisse, although a final decision has not yet been made.
Here in the U.S., eBay is reviving investor confidence, forecasting revenue for 2017 that topped analyst estimates. Shares of the e-commerce company are up 7.8% in early trading following that announcement. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
It shows a rebranding campaign and data initiative to elevate the online marketplace's prominence among shoppers could pay off in the year ahead. eBay says sales in the current fiscal year will be $9.3 to $9.5 billion. Analysts on average estimated $9.35 billion. eBay is looking to accelerate sales growth on its marketplace to catch up with Amazon.com and compete with brick-and-mortar retailers that have been migrating online. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Shares of Qualcomm are trading lower this morning, down 2% in early trading after the company said sales and profit for the current quarter may miss estimates. The forecast comes as the chipmaker works to complete its acquisition of NXP Semiconductors, ignite growth in a slowing smartphone market, and fend off a legal dispute with Apple. S&P E-mini futures right now are up 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 50 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 15 points. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, the threat to sanctuary cities. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest on that and more. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Politicians in New York, Seattle, and other sanctuary cities that protect immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally say they won't be intimidated. They are denouncing a move by President Donald Trump to cut off millions in federal funding to such communities. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio.
This executive order could undermine the relationship between our police department and our communities, which has been the foundation of our ability to drive down crime.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is promising to let immigrants who feel threatened take shelter in City Hall if necessary. A senior official says Mexico's president is considering canceling next week's visit to Washington following President Trump's order to begin building a wall between the two countries. In a televised speech, President Enrique Peña Nieto condemned the U.S. decision and repeated that Mexico would not pay for the wall. British Prime Minister Theresa May will visit the U.S. today. May will speak in Philadelphia at the annual Congressional Republican Retreat. Bloomberg will carry May's speech live starting at 3:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Meanwhile, Prime Minister May's government is set today to publish a bill to trigger Brexit. May is seeking the permission of lawmakers to begin the formal process of withdrawing from the European Union. Bloomberg's Tim Ross has more from London.
May has been forced to introduce a Brexit bill after judges ruled that she couldn't take the UK out of the EU without giving lawmakers a vote. The bill is expected to be short and drafted tightly to stop May's critics delaying it or rewriting it to tie her hands in negotiations. The main opposition Labour Party and some of May's own Conservative colleagues have already warned they will not give the new law an easy ride. Tim Ross, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Italy is a step closer to early elections after the Constitutional Court effectively devised a new voting system. Bloomberg's John Fallane is in Rome.
The court said the new law could be applied immediately, giving a boost to former Premier Matteo Renzi, who has been pushing for early elections by June. The judges knocked down some of the electoral law for the lower house, partly smoothing out differences with the Senate. It's now up to Renzi to see whether he can persuade President Sergio Mattarella to call new elections soon. John Fallane, Bloomberg Daybreak, Rome.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, and Michael brings us to 5:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The Knicks met with Carmelo Anthony last week to talk about his future in New York, and if reports are accurate, they are serious about attempting to trade him with a report of an offer made to Cleveland. Melo for Kevin Love, and the Cavs said no, which all came as news to Anthony.
I don't have a reaction to it. I mean, until management come to me and say something, then it's not something I can look forward to or feed into at this point. So I really don't have a reaction to it.
Another Knicks loss, 103-95 in Dallas. Melo scored 30 points, but none in the fourth quarter when the Knicks did themselves in with 8 turnovers. Dallas only had 7 for the game. Brutal loss for the Nets. They were up 18 in the fourth quarter. Back came Miami to win 109-106. Brook Lopez scored 33. He'd get 26 at the half. Meanwhile, what's up with the Cavs? A home loss in overtime to Sacramento. Defending NBA champs have dropped 6 of their last 8. The only reason they still lead the East is Toronto has lost 5 in a row themselves. The Raptors fell in Memphis. At the Garden, Rangers and Flyers scoreless until Philly tallied a pair in the third period to end the Rangers' 3-game win streak 2-0. College hoops saw St. John's win at Providence. Seton Hall lost at home to Butler. The Williams sisters still going strong. Venus now 36 years old. Serena's 35. They will play for the Australian Open final after semifinal victories. And Roger Federer trying to reach the men's final at 35. He's playing his semifinal match now with fellow Swede Stan Wawrinka. Federer has won the first set. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you. Elsewhere in sports, a Chinese company is investing in an English Premier League soccer team. Lander Sports Development has agreed to buy a stake in English Premier team Southampton. People familiar with the matter said late last year that talks between the two were for an investment of about $250 million. Should the deal be completed, Southampton would be the fourth English Premier team sold to Chinese investors. S&P E-mini futures currently up 3 points, a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down 8/32. The yield at 2.5433. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A global equities rally gathering speed as investors embrace riskier assets after the Dow Jones Industrial Average topped 20,000 for the first time. Gold and bonds continue to sell off while the dollar advances. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 2.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 48. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 15. DAX in Germany's up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents to $52.86 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.20 to $11.95.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0722. The yen, 114.25. A busy morning for economic data at 8:30 Wall Street time. We get a look at wholesale inventories and the weekly initial jobless claims number. At 9:45, it's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index and at 10 new home sales and leading economic indicators. Almost 40 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings. They include Alphabet, Microsoft, Intel, and Caterpillar. And China's central bank has ordered the nation's lenders to impose tighter controls on new loans. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Karen, it's another macroprudential move to curb excess leverage in the financial system. People familiar say the People's Bank of China wants to target mortgage lending further. Now, this guidance requests banks to limit any increase in new loans in the first quarter to below the increase seen in the fourth quarter of last year. It's a balancing act to contain runaway property prices on the one hand, with providing ample liquidity through the Chinese New Year holiday on the other. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, thanks, Brian. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The final death toll from Italy's devastating avalanche stands at 29 after the last bodies were pulled out of the rubble of a hotel crushed by tons of snow last week. 9 people were pulled out alive in the first days of the rescue in central Italy. Mexico's president is considering canceling next week's visit to Washington, following President Donald Trump's order to begin building a wall at the U.S.-Mexico border. Tributes have been pouring in for TV icon Mary Tyler Moore. Former co-star Dick Van Dyke tweeted that she was the best. Carl Reiner says she'll last forever as long as there's television. Moore died yesterday at age 80. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks and the Nets lost. The Celtics and the Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Rangers were shut out by the Flyers 2-0. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Which way is up this morning? Well, the dollar's up while the pound turns down. Will the Trump trade sustain the greenback's rise, or is it losing some traction? We turn to the Spectrum Enterprise phone line now for some answers. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Joining us on the line from London, Nomura International Forex Strategist, Jordan Rochester. Good morning and welcome. A lot of things in the mix from the new president. He's pushing forward on campaign pledges to renegotiate trade agreements. Without offering more details, though, on policies like tax cuts and fiscal stimulus. So where do you think that leaves the dollar?
Morning. Thanks for having me on, sir. So I think for the dollar, the fundamental policies that Trump has put forward and what really matters for markets is the tax cuts, of course, and then the infrastructure in that order. Now, the tax cuts is something that we're looking for to come through in the second half this year. But what the market's been having to deal with is quite a large amount of uncertainty as to which direction this administration will go. And so far, the first few executive orders have been very much towards the campaign rhetoric, and therefore the dollar had a bit of a shaky start to the year. You may remember December was all about the Trumpflation trade, and what's happening now is the more global dollar trade is in question. Dollar yen's been coming off over recent sessions. This morning, quite rightly, picking up a bit, but yet to break through the highs of the recent range. And that's because we're asking how much of a protectionist will Donald Trump be, already signaling that he'll renegotiate NAFTA, and he's looking to, of course, repeal TPP. For me, I think dollar yen here probably is going to reach the next level, which would be 115, but it will probably run short unless we get more information on his plans for tax cuts.
Let's stay on this thought for a moment. When George W. Bush entered the White House in 2001, Bill Clinton told Tony Blair what to do. He said, hug them close. So Prime Minister Theresa May is going to be meeting with Donald Trump now. What should she do, and what is she hoping to accomplish?
Well, there's many things that she's hoping to accomplish, and if she can get it all done in one meeting, I'd be surprised. But what I do expect from that on Friday is more noises about security cooperation. Of course, the special relationship to continue to apply there. But also, when it comes to her European negotiations in this year, from March onwards, we expect her to have triggered Article 50 and start negotiating with the EU. It would be quite helpful for her to have in her back pocket a sort of, not a guarantee, but a good promise for the US to have favorable terms in an FTA for the UK and a quick turnaround. And that would just be a nice sentimental reason for her to see Donald Trump on Friday, of course, because it's very important in free trade negotiations with the EU to explain to the other side of the table that they have other options.
Is she out to underpin the pound or let it float?
Now, politicians don't really target the currency. But it's quite helpful that for her as a politician that the headlines last Tuesday when she gave her speech, which was a bit of a masterclass in common sense for what the UK should aim for if we're going to go through with Brexit. It was quite helpful for her, the headlines said the pound was rising, but I don't think the politicos in what we call number 10 Downing Street here in the UK are targeting the exchange rate.
And so where do you think the pound is headed?
Fundamentally, sterling should head lower in the medium term, but for the short term, the skew of risks are that the pound will head higher. So against the dollar, we're looking for 127.50 as the next level where sterling will probably slow down on its recent ascent. If it breaks above that level, we'll get to 130 against the dollar. This morning, the reaction's been quite bizarre. The pound's actually lower after what was a very good GDP number versus what the market was expecting, and of course, more importantly, what the Bank of England was expecting in its forecasts. We have next week on Thursday the quarterly inflation report from the Bank of England, where Mark Carney, the Bank of England governor, will be explaining their forecasts for CPI, the inflation measure here in the UK, and also for growth going forward. Now, in November, it was pretty pessimistic. They had growth declining throughout 2017. I wonder if they look at the recent set of data and how the feed-through to UK consumer spending hasn't really materially hit them yet.
Okay.
And they have a bit more of a positive assessment. The market's kind of pricing in a little bit of optimism in the UK curve, with about half a hike priced in by the end of the year from the Bank of England. But there's some room for that to go up.
Okay. Nomura International Forex Strategist Jordan Rochester, thank you very much. He joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Willoughby since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Johnson & Johnson has agreed to buy Actelion for $30 billion. The deal has been months in the making and will be J&J's largest acquisition ever. Actelion's R&D operations will be spun off to its shareholders as a new publicly traded company, with J&J keeping a 16% stake. Shares of Actelion are currently up almost 20% in Zurich.
Stocks in Asia today climbed to their highest level since 2013 as part of the global rally sparked by the Dow Jones Industrial Average surpassing 20,000. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Gold and bonds were sold off, but stocks from Hong Kong to Tokyo jumped. Japanese equities rallied, led by financial shares, the topics capping the biggest two-day gain since November. In China, the Shanghai Composite rose by a third of 1%, despite reports China is said to be ordering banks to curb new loans in the first quarter, in yet another move to curb excess leverage in the financial system. In Hong Kong, stocks rose to a three-month high. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. In Europe, yet another bank is exploring options for moving staff from London as the UK closes in on its exit from the European Union. According to people familiar with the matter, Credit Suisse is considering expanding operations in Dublin. The Irish capital is said to be emerging as a favored location for the bank's so-called back office jobs, although a final decision hasn't been made.
Royal Bank of Scotland says it will take a $3.8 billion charge in its fourth quarter results to account for an expected settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice. The DOJ is investigating the bank's sale of mortgage bonds in the lead-up to the financial crisis. Though timing of a settlement remains uncertain, the lender is using agreements reached by other banks to estimate the impact. Shares of RBS are trading higher on the news, up 4.5% in London.
Unilever reported sales this morning that missed analyst estimates. The maker of Dove soap says its personal care unit grew at the slowest pace in at least 2 years. The company said it sees a slow start to 2017 amid tough market conditions. Shares of Unilever are currently trading down 3.9% in London. And taking a look at futures this morning, they are moving higher with S&P E-mini futures up about 2 points, Dow E-mini futures up 40, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 13.5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, the yield 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents to $52.86 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $5.90 to $11.94.60 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Public opinion runs into the wall. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump says it's an effort to get back control of the border. During a visit to the Department of Homeland Security yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order to jumpstart construction of his promised U.S.-Mexico border wall.
The Secretary of Homeland Security, working with myself and my staff, will begin immediate construction of a border wall.
Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto says he regrets and rejects the decision. Nieto, through a translator.
I lament and am against the decision by the United States to extend the wall, which for years has divided us instead of uniting us. Mexico does not believe in walls. I've said time again, Mexico will not pay for any wall.
Nieto did not address reports that he's considering canceling next week's visit to Washington. Mayors in sanctuary cities across the U.S. say they plan to fight President Trump's executive order, cutting them off from federal funding. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will fight hard in court if the Trump administration cuts one dime of federal funding.
The president and his team are going to have to look long and hard at the notion of taking away anti-terrorism funding from New York City and taking away funding that protects Trump Tower and everyone who works in it and lives in it and visits it.
De Blasio's comments come after White House spokesman Sean Spicer says the administration will strip federal grants from the sanctuary states and cities that harbor illegal immigrants. British Prime Minister Theresa May will visit the U.S. today. May will speak in Philadelphia at the annual Congressional Republican Retreat. Bloomberg will carry this afternoon's speech live, starting at 3:30 p.m. Wall Street time. Tomorrow, May will meet with President Trump. Rescuers in central Italy say the final bodies have now been pulled out of the debris of a hotel destroyed days ago by an avalanche. Firefighters say 29 people were killed when tons of snow crushed the hotel. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. That brings us to 5:35 on Wall Street now with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashel.
Good morning, Bob. Senior citizens, at least by tennis standards, are showing the way at the Australian Open. The women's final will be Venus versus Serena Williams. Not surprising about Serena. She won her match easily. If she's going to surpass Steffi Graf for most Grand Slams won with 23, she'll have to beat her older sister, who won a three-setter with fellow American Coco Vandeweghe. Venus at 36 is turning back the clock. This is her first final in Australia since 2003. She had only reached one Grand Slam final since then. It'll be the 28th ever match between the two, ninth time it's happened in a Grand Slam final. And then there's Roger Federer. He's 35, hadn't played since last summer's knee injury. He leads fellow Swede Stan Wawrinka 2-0 in the men's semis. Another loss for the Knicks. Coach Jeff Hornacek after falling in Dallas 103-95.
You know, they did a good job of keeping the guys in front, and then, we kind of got stuck. We lost the handle on the ball. So you can't have 8 turnovers in the fourth quarter expect to win a game. They only had 7 for the whole game.
Carmelo Anthony had 7 himself. Didn't score in the fourth quarter, though he had 30 for the night. This after a report the Knicks made a trade offer to Cleveland, Melo for Kevin Love, and the Cavs rejected it. Knicks have now lost 14 of their last 18. The Nets have dropped 13 of 14, haven't won a home game since the night after Christmas. Nets blew an 18-point fourth-quarter lead, fell to Miami 109-106. At the Garden, Flyers shut out the Rangers 2-0. Steve Mason with 34 saves for Philly. In the Big East, St. John's won, Seton Hall lost. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report. Here is Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Bob. Sky is the European pay TV company being acquired by Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox, and it reports first half revenue rose 12% from a year earlier. That gain was helped by the addition of 500,000 customers as the company expands its digital offerings. Earnings per share declined 5% because of the higher costs to show English Premier League soccer. New York apartment building completions as a percentage of inventory are at the highest level since 1990. That's according to real estate researcher Reese. New completions have been weighed more toward the west side of Manhattan, boosted by the Hudson Yards development. Well, the new University of Connecticut campus in West Hartford will have a bookstore operated by Barnes & Noble College Bookstore. In addition to textbooks, there will be trade books and magazines, UConn-branded clothing, and a small grab-and-go food market. That's your Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Shares of Qualcomm are down 2% in early trading after the company forecast sales and profit below estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett with that story.
Qualcomm says revenue in its second quarter will be $5.5 to $6.3 billion. That compares with the average analyst projection for sales of $5.9 billion. CEO Steve Mollenkopf and his leadership team face multiple challenges as they work to complete the acquisition of NXP Semiconductors, ignite growth in a slowing smartphone market, and now fend off accusations of illegal business practices. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Microsoft will release quarterly results after the close of U.S. trading today, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says fiscal second quarter growth for Microsoft was likely driven by cloud application and infrastructure products and a holiday season for PCs that was in line with forecasts. Investors will be very interested in demand for server products, a category that could be restrained as clients move more of their workload to the public cloud. Analysts predict Microsoft will post an adjusted profit of 79 cents a share on revenue topping $25 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Appreciate it, Jeff. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WLW in Cincinnati, the home of Kroger, I'm reporting the supermarket chain seeks to fill 10,000 positions in its supermarket divisions.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KFAB in Omaha. I'm reporting how Kraft Heinz is giving workers the day off after the Super Bowl.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're following the hit to Royal Bank of Scotland as it sets aside £3.1 billion to settle a U.S. mortgage securities investigation.
I'm Adrienne Mitchell, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on Caterpillar's quarterly results.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting automakers are hopeful President Trump will give environmental regulations a second look.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures currently up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 35 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 12 points. And Europe London's FTSE is up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris up 0.3%. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury prices down 8/32. The yield at 2.5415. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
Mobile business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A global equities rally gathering speed as investors embraced riskier assets after the Dow Jones Industrial Average topped 20,000 for the first time. Right now, S&P E-mini futures are up 2 points. Dow E-mini futures up 36, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 12.5. The DAX in Germany up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 15 cents to $52.90 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.20 to $11.95.30 an ounce. The euro is at $1.0719, the yen 114.25. At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Commerce Department issues data on new home sales. Economists forecasting sales dropped 0.7% in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
New home sales seesawed last year. In November, sales rose to the second highest since 2008 after falling in October, rising in September, falling in August, etc., etc. Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say a decline in December's report could be the first sign that rising mortgage rates are restraining demand. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Also today, 8:30 Wall Street time, a look at wholesale inventories and weekly initial jobless claims. At 9:45, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and also at 10, leading economic indicators. We're watching headlines from Fiat Chrysler crossing the Bloomberg reporting earnings. It does say it expects debt to fall by at least 45% this year as the Italian-American carmaker enters the final stretch of a plan to turn liabilities into cash by selling more expensive autos. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now for a look at what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. It looks like President Donald Trump will sign a notice to Congress today that he plans to start bilateral trade negotiations with most of the countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Pact. That's according to a White House official. On Monday, Trump moved to pull the U.S. out of the 12-nation Pacific Rim Agreement, saying he wanted to negotiate with the countries individually. President Trump could sign as early as this week an executive action as ordering an investigation into claims of voter fraud. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks and the Nets lost. The Celtics and the Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Rangers were shut out by the Flyers 2-0. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Time for your Bloomberg ETF report. Here's Catherine Cowdery.
ETFs reached $3.5 trillion in assets globally at the end of 2016. Imagine that number jumping to $25 trillion by the end of 2025. That's a projection from State Street Global Advisors. Here's Jim Ross, chairman of the global spider business at SSGA.
We literally looked at some of the historical growth trends where ETFs have, you know, shown a history of literally doubling every 3 years.
At the Inside ETFs conference in Hollywood, Florida, Ross said SSGA sees strong growth trends in the existing ETF space globally.
Some of the global trends in growth in Europe, in Asia Pacific, and just the growing amount of people around the globe that are significantly larger than the U.S. So I think we see the dynamics globally as being one of those trends that's probably untapped or very less tapped today.
Ross says the advent of active ETFs will also help drive the industry's growth along with increased use by insurance companies, financial advisors, and institutional investors. At the Inside ETFs conference, I'm Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Catherine. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning. You know, for quite a while, it has seemed Bitcoin could have borrowed a slogan from that old Saturday Night Live routine. We're going to pump you up. Well, now the bubble's been popped and guess who investors can thank for that? One of President Trump's favorite foils.
Yes, China's communists. Bitcoin investors can thank China for popping what looks like a bubble in the digital currency. Look at the 10-day volatility of Bitcoin, and it dropped 50% in a matter of days after the authorities stopped leverage bets and on Monday pushed exchanges to start transaction fees. The squeeze began in the first 2 weeks of January when a spike that took the currency's price close to a record prompted regulators to inspect the offices of Huobi.com, OKCoin and BTC China. More meaningfully, though, trading volume has plunged 98% compared with the first days of 2017. And look at the share of the yuan's share of the trading, and that really tells the story. On average, 90% of all Bitcoin transactions between the end of July and the end of December were performed in the Chinese currency. This week, that number dropped to 63%, and Wednesday's figure of 33% was the lowest since December 2013. So it looks now, with the east-west balance restored, the currency settling into a range and looks set to start following normal supply and demand factors. But of course, the spike in December and the sudden rapid drop should raise questions about how actually free Bitcoin is, even if it is beloved of libertarians because it's outside the clutches of any central authority.
Okay, riddle me this. Which country was the world's biggest coal importer in 2015? Wait for it. Go ahead.
If you're tempted to say China, think again. It's in fact the home of the Toyota Prius and the world's largest floating solar power farm. It's Japan. Shipped more than coal than its neighbour across the East China Sea in 14 out of the past 24 months. Now, the reason's pretty clear. The Japan's shutdown of its atomic power industry after the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear accident, of course, has left the country scrambling for alternative sources of electricity. Coal, oil and gas demand has all soared. Now, obviously, predictions of a restart have been confounded so many times that people have assumed that it will never happen again. That could be a mistake. Restarts may finally get going this year. And, of course, that has an effect on all sorts of markets, coal, gas, and, of course, uranium.
Thank you very much, Edward Evans. In London, you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts Jim Grasso and Michael Best discuss Republican plans to repeal Obamacare after President Donald Trump signed an executive order to ease several provisions of the law. They speak with Alden Bianchi, a member at Mintz, Levin and Abby Gluck, faculty director of the Solomon Center for Health Law and Policy at Yale University.
Abby, can the administration refuse to enforce the two mandates to purchase insurance and to have employers provide insurance if they have 50 or more employees?
The executive order makes very clear that the agencies can only act to the extent authorized by law. With respect to the individual mandate, the requirement that everybody has to get themselves insured or pay a tax, a very controversial requirement under the Affordable Care Act, as a legal matter, it's very unlikely that the Trump administration could use that executive order to wholesale abandon the individual mandate. That would not be permitted consistent with the law as the executive order requires. They could extend some of the hardship exemptions that were offered by the Obama administration, but the exception can't swallow the rule. I also would just note that Tom Price, the HHS nominee in his confirmation hearing, also alluded to the idea that they were not going to use that executive order to wholesale stop enforcing the individual mandate.
Alden, what do you make of Tom Price's testimony where Trump's choice for health secretary repeatedly refused to promise that no Americans will be worse off under Trump's executive order to ease provisions of the Affordable Care Act?
The question is how does replace go forward? And I think Representative Price has been very cryptic in any numbers. We have no idea or very little idea from his public statements and testimony exactly what he's going to do. But we do have a comprehensive bill that he had, two comprehensive bills, one a pure repeal bill on the reconciliation and the other repeal and replace that Tom Price either authored or is a co-author. So we have his policy prescriptions. So we know, I think we know what he wants to do, and those prescriptions are very similar to the prescriptions in five other major Republican proposals. So I think we pretty much know where he's going to go.
That's Alden Bianchi, a member at Mintz Levin, and Abby Gluck, faculty director of the Solomon Center for Health Law and Policy at Yale University, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that is this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
Futures this morning are a little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up 2.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 41. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 13. And the euro $1.0719. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
Congressional Republicans on retreat in Philadelphia say any major tax overhaul should not increase the federal debt. Bankruptcy filings for 2016 fell 5.9% from the year before to the lowest number of filings for any calendar year since 2006. This is the sixth consecutive year filings have fallen. The World Trade Organization will investigate U.S. allegations China illegally subsidized production of rice, wheat, and corn. Washington claims the support totaled more than $100 billion.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.